as we do every Friday here on the BPP, we sum up the major events that happened in, around, and about the conflict in Iraq. It's called The Week in Iraq. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said yesterday the House will vote as early as today on legislation that would spend $50 billion on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but require that President Bush start bringing troops home. That's about a quarter of the $196 billion the president requested. Here's Speaker Pelosi.
This is not working. It's a war without end. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. We must reverse it.
In Iraq, there's continued fallout from the September shooting of 17 Iraqi civilians by Blackwater USA contractors. The Iraqi Interior Minister said this week he'd authorize Iraqi forces to raid Western security firms operating there to make sure they're following these tightened restrictions.
Oh, yeah. And Iraq's largest dam may be in danger of collapsing and unleashing a trillion gallons of water on two of Iraq's largest cities. Sudarshan Raghavan, Washington Post Baghdad bureau chief, joins us to help drill down on these stories a little bit. Hey, thanks for being with us.
Hey, good to be here, Luke and Allison.
So, Darson, over the course of the week, there's been all this information about death tolls in Iraq. 7 days ago, some positive news that U.S. soldier and Iraqi civilian deaths in October were at the lowest monthly totals in a year. But then this week, according to the DOD numbers, 2007 is the deadliest year for U.S. troops since the Iraq War began. Let's talk about these numbers. Is there something we should keep in mind, first of all, when we hear these kind of numbers?
Well, I think the most important thing to keep in mind is to see, you know, whether this is really a trend in downward violence, or is it, or are we just in a lull period? And we have seen other periods in Iraq's war where we've seen violent levels decrease only to rise up again. It is interesting, though, that you do have a couple of reasons why you've seen civilian death tolls down. I mean, it's actually very complex. You've had this year. You had the surge of 30,000 U.S. troops basically being funneled in into so many neighborhoods in Baghdad, and when you do that, there is going to be some security is going to improve. At the same time, the U.S. has been capitalizing on a fallout between Sunni Arab sheikhs and Sunni insurgent mm-hmm. groups with the group Al Qaeda in Iraq, and they've essentially turned against Al Qaeda in Iraq and are now working with the U.S. troops, partnering with them. And the third reason you're seeing violence level down is that many Iraqis have already fled their neighborhoods. I mean, the number of mixed neighborhoods in Baghdad particularly has fallen. And what you're seeing is, much more homogenized neighborhoods where people of the same sex are living together and in a sense, tensions are down.
But when I see that number, it's the deadliest year for U.S. troops since the Iraq War began. Is that related to the surge in number of troops actually over there?
Absolutely. I mean, those numbers. The reason why it's the highest total yearly total since the war began is that many of these deaths actually happened earlier during the year and through the summer And what you're seeing is, a massive amounts of troops in these neighborhoods, and they're essentially taking the attention away, from the Iraqi civilians, and they've been attracting the violence. Mm. But at the same time, what we see in the past couple of months is that these U.S. military deaths have actually fallen, and the number of roadside bomb attacks on them have gone down.
All right, let's go on to Blackwater USA and the Iraqi Interior Minister saying, yeah, I'm going to okay raids into Western security contractors' offices to make sure they're following all the new restrictions about firearms. Is this an unusual move?
Yes and no. I mean, the Iraqi government has long been disturbed by these Western private contractors running around the roads and really taking the law into their own hands. There's always been a sort of a spiteful relationship, you might say. I mean, even ordinary Iraqis, when they see these contractors driving around in their big black vehicles and with no regard for the law, they just don't like them. So what we're seeing here now is the government trying to capitalize on this latest incident involving Blackwater USA in September, in which 17 Iraqis were killed, and they're using this as a way to assert themselves, assert Iraqi sovereignty, and at the same time, letting the not only the United States but Western private contractors know that who's the boss on the streets.
Let's talk about this Mosul Dam, the largest in Iraq that could release all this water. That's according to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, let me say. What are Iraqi locals saying about this? Do they seem concerned that this dam may collapse and flood many large cities?
Surprisingly, no. I mean, when you talk to Iraqi officials, they downplay it all the time. They point out that this dam was actually built in the 1980s under Saddam Hussein, and it was built on a top of gypsum, which dissolves in water. And ever since then, engineers have been injecting this dam with something called grout.
Does not sound good.
Yeah, that sounds like what I would do to fix a problem in my bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. It's a liquefied mixture of cement and other additives, and they've been doing this since the 1980s. And it really wasn't until after the U.S. invasion that American officials started looking into this. Engineers started looking into this, and they've pointed out to the Iraqis, even a letter from General David Petraeus, the top commander in Iraq, as well as the U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker. They wrote a letter to Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, just warning him that this dam could collapse. But so far, it doesn't really seem that the Iraqis are that interested in forking over what could be like $10 billion to fix it.
Without getting too personal, people are wondering, wow, this is a really clear line to Iraq. We're actually talking to you. You're in Madrid, right? Visiting your wife?
That's right. I just left a few days ago, and this is where I spend my off time.
Yeah, you've been in Iraq for 15 months, your first vacation in 2 months. Now that you've left and you look back on your time in Iraq, is there something that you have a clearer vision about in terms of your reporting?
Well, actually, I'm heading back next week. It's just a short break. But certainly every time I leave Iraq, I mean, it's sort of you get mixed emotions. I mean, obviously, I'm very happy to get out of there and go see my wife and go have a normal life, dinners and restaurants and go visit museums and things like that. But at the same time, you know, you do feel a certain amount of guilt as well, because, you know, you're leaving behind your Iraqi staff who's in the midst of all this danger, who don't have the luxury of leaving Iraq whenever they want to. At the same time, you know, when you're working on a story like this, you get very addicted to it, and it's impossible to escape it. I mean, I'm constantly, even when I'm off out of Iraq, I'm constantly checking the wires and making sure that I'm top of all the news there.
Sudarshan Raghavan is a Washington Post Baghdad bureau chief. I'm not keeping you on the phone 1 second longer if you've got to go back to Iraq next week. Go spend some time with your wife, enjoy the rest of your vacation, and be safe when you return.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good to be with you again. Yeah.
Boy, that's a talk about a culture shock. Baghdad, Madrid.
Seriously.
Coming up, did you know it's Diwali?
We get to celebrate. I love a celebration.
Yeah, I'll take any excuse to. Also, a holiday marked apparently by lots of gambling. I celebrate Diwali all year round. We're going to talk to somebody who can tell us more about this big, big festival in South Asia.
And you've probably seen the posters. Robert Redford, Tom Cruise, Meryl Streep, and this film, Lions for Lambs. I've seen it. They're never on screen together.
Oh.
That's just an interesting little tidbit about this film. Some are saying it's great. Some are saying it is the biggest snooze fest ever. Bob Mondello, NPR's film and arts critic, will join us to talk a little bit more about that and the new Coen Brothers film. You are listening to The Bryant Park Project from NPR News.